It is my pleasure today to introduce someone who saved my life by being able to overcome the fear and get in touch with their higher power, even in the disease of compulsive overeating, and come through and give us a fellowship by which we could find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. And you know, as we stand here today, we are able to have a fellowship because one person was able to walk through the fear and go to another and say, how can I start a program to help other compulsive overeaters? And I would like to welcome someone who is very dear and very important to this fellowship because she's the one who said, I can walk through the fear and I can give us love. I'd like to introduce Roseanne.
Good morning, my friends. Can you all hear me? Can you all see me? Well, my name is Roseanne, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Have you enjoyed this conference so far? Yeah. It's just a big delegates meeting from Intergroup. Well, it is wonderful to meet so many new and old friends from around the world, isn't it? Isn't it really? Yes. Welcome to everybody, everybody from this globe. On Monday, day after tomorrow, I will have been in OA for 37 years and 4 months. I have been abstaining for 10 years, 6 months, and 2 weeks, and I'm maintaining a 55 to 60 pound weight loss. And that's due to only one thing, because I kept coming back. Well, it's due to God, but it's because I kept coming back. There is a strange little ritual that sprung up in Los Angeles meetings in the last several years. When the member reading the 12 traditions comes to the end of the 12th tradition, while reading the last sentence, the group joins in by proclaiming principles before personalities. Now, I don't know how many of your groups do this or where the practice came from, but each time I hear it chanted, I wonder if the members really think about what they are repeating. What principles are we talking about? Why should we place them before personalities? How are we using the word personalities in this instance? And most important, what does the word anonymous mean in our 12th tradition, and why is it our spiritual foundation? Whew. These are heavy-duty questions, ones that could be discussed during the course of a whole meeting, an entire retreat weekend, or even in an OA publication devoted just to this one subject. Well, for starters, OA has just such a publication, and it's called Anonymity, the Meaning and Applications of Traditions 11 and 12. It's a reprint of four Lifeline articles I wrote about 15 years ago, and it's available out at the literature table? Yes, it's available out at the literature table. We've all heard and read, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Going back to my earlier questions, what do those precious words mean? In listening to thousands of discussions about anonymity, principles and personalities, the one word I've never heard examined is foundation. Yet isn't that word the basis of the whole tradition? Isn't the foundation the bedrock, the stable bottom upon which another structure is built? But we're not just talking about any ordinary foundation. The tradition specifically refers to a spiritual foundation. And what else could that be but the firm support of our higher power? And what is it that's built upon this firm bedrock, this spiritual foundation? Well, anonymity, of course. And what does that word mean? To begin with, the word comes from early Latin and Greek, and it means without a name. Now, we can look at that sense of being nameless in two ways. The first is very unsettling. If we don't have a name, an identity, then we become just another face in the crowd, and that can be very frightening. it's almost as if we're losing ourselves. But let's turn that around. If we can accept the idea of being nothing special, then we truly become one among many, each person no better and no worse than every other OA member. We come to see that we must submerge our own ego and blend with the rest of humanity for our own sake, as well as for the good of the group and the preservation of OA as a whole. And to our surprise, and I have found this to be true, to our surprise, quieting the ego relieves us of a great deal of pressure, enabling us to relax, abstain, let go, and live one day at a time. Now, as newcomers, and I know all of you as newcomers felt this way, most of us felt much worse than other human beings. Unfortunately, some of us world savers felt better, more important than others. From OA's second year until this very day, you'll have to excuse me, I'm coming off of laryngitis. We have had both kinds of human beings among us. I must confess that I've been on both sides of this dilemma. Our new history book. Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. Hope I can make this. Is available today at the literature table. In that book, you'll see that I began my OA participation, in fact, my whole life, by feeling utterly worthless. As I became very thin, I was also filled with an exaggerated sense of my own importance. Talk about putting personalities before principles. I felt that because I was the founder, or co-founder, whichever one you like, you know that God is our founder. Don't you know that?
Yes.
Thank you. Every word, I felt that because I was the founder or co-founder, every word that dropped from my lips was a pearl of wisdom. But when Irene B. came along with her new eating plan, she felt the same way. And you all know what happens. I know you all know when two personalities clash. Suddenly, OA was divided into two opposing factions, sometimes even more. And our beautiful principles were overshadowed by the force of controlling personalities. Eventually, 32 years ago, food became my only friend and source of comfort. And I returned to overeating and a 75-pound weight gain. And I didn't leave OA. For my first 3 decades in OA, I found myself floundering between an inflated sense of self-importance and an equally deflated sense of worthlessness. Of course, I floundered between abstinence and overeating, weight loss and weight gain, as well. Yes, sadly, I had lost sight of the concept of spiritual anonymity, and it was my downfall. Learning my lessons hasn't been easy, and it hasn't been easy for our fellowship as a whole either, as you saw yesterday. For 37 years, the OA members have swung between active hatred, bitter hatred, and a tendency to idolize the woman who first conceived the idea of this fellowship. The hatred has been very, very, very hurtful to me, and the celebrity has been a danger to all concerned. Why a danger? Because it flies in the face of the last part of Tradition 12 to place principles before personalities. And that brings us back to our spiritual foundation. Anytime we use a name or a title on an OA event flyer, Anytime we promote our membership in the public, anytime we place someone on a pedestal or allow ourselves to be placed on that pedestal, we are placing personal self-importance before the principle of humility. And humility is the essence of anonymity, the spiritual foundation of our entire program. Frightened people pleasers and power-hungry individuals have always been with us and always will be. There are 12 steps to help us resolve these conflicting feelings as individuals. But what do we do when the very survival of our group, sometimes our fellowship, is threatened? Let's be specific and start with the problems of arguments and crosstalk during the meeting, resulting from placing personalities before principles. This is a copy of the original, I Put My Hand in Yours. How many of you have seen this? How many of you have read it? That's great. Take a look. Take a look at this booklet at the literature table. It's at the literature table? Thank you. On page 4, you'll discover how we solved that problem 37 years ago in our new little group, and there was only one group. We set up our chairs theater style instead of placing the chairs every which way. That suggestion came from Jim W., the Gamblers Anonymous founder who was OA's first sponsor. However, today in Los Angeles, especially in discussion groups where we do sit in a circle, our groups have gone even further. We have incorporated there is no crosstalk right into our written formats, and that section is read by the leader at every meeting before pitches begin. You all clear on what I've just said? Next, we have the member, clearly self-willed, run riot, who insists on controlling the group. And I have been there, so I know what that's like. My food plan is the only way to eat, he or she will insist. And woe to anyone who disagrees. My way of taking an inventory, working the steps, running a meeting is the only way to go. Soon, personalities invade the meeting. Everyone is upset. Some members may return to binging or may even leave OA. In the worst cases, the entire group is destroyed. And what happens to the overeaters then? None of this had to happen if only the principles of the 12 steps had come before personalities. What's the solution? Well, regular group steering committee meetings, of course. In my home group, we announce every week that we will hold a steering committee meeting every 3 months. Now, this particular group has 150 members, so it's quite large, and we need that meeting. All members are welcome. All OA members, all group members are welcome. Motions are made, problems are discussed, and votes are taken just as we do in this conference. Many OA groups hold these meetings once a month. When you bring this idea back to your home group, make sure the group plans regular group conscience meetings and incorporate the dates into your format. Announce them ahead of time. Announce the subjects ahead of time. In our group, if you're going to make a motion of whatever kind, you have to be there at group steering committee meeting when the motion is made. What if the controlling person still won't accept the group conscience? Well, gossiping or crying on the phone won't solve anything. It's time for the group officers to call another emergency steering committee session. And I want to add a little paragraph that isn't in my speech. Some of the young women are bringing babies to our meeting. It's making me crazy. Because they cry in the back, they cry in the front, I can't hear the speaker, I move to the front, they move to the front, I move to the back, they move to the back. So I brought it up as a motion, and I was outvoted. Now, I can either go to another group or accept it. And that's what I did. I accepted it. There was nothing else to do. It was a group conscience, but still there are some people who won't accept the group conscience, because we always think we're right, don't we? Well, nobody here, but actually, I still think I'm right about those babies. What can be done next? Now it's time for the secretary and maybe one or two longtime group members to suggest to that disruptive member, lovingly and kindly, that he or she might want to find a different group. If not, remember that the early AA literature tells us how any member with a resentment and a coffee pot can start a new group. All this boils down to what I talked about earlier, submergence of the ego for the good of the group. And I hope you remember that at this conference. It is so hard to give in when you know you're right. But what difference does it make when we're sure we're right if the arguments kill a group or send even one member out to eat again? I may have thought I was a remarkable founder of this fellowship, but I was wrong. God is the founder, and we are all just messengers. After tomorrow, you'll all go back to your towns and home groups, to your delegates' meetings and regional assemblies, to your jobs and families and everyday trials and joys. If you don't remember anything from this conference, remember this: anonymity, submergence of the ego, your ego and mine, for the good of the group, being just another member of the human race, is one of our most precious possessions. It is the spiritual foundation of our transformed lives as well as our traditions. Don't trample on anonymity. Treasure it instead. Learn more about it. Understand how it can help keep, how it can keep self-will out of everyday reactions, laying instead a foundation of love, compassion, understanding, and acceptance. We are compulsive overeaters, and we have been given the most generous gift imaginable. Take that gift home with you and give it away. In doing so, you and I will find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you.